This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
All right, everybody, guys and girls, welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review right here on the WWE Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Michael Ritter. You can find me on Twitter at Michael5Ritter and on Instagram at MichaelRitter5. Also the host of the Football Function Podcast. We just got through week one. We're already into week two. So if you're a fan of football and you like preview and prediction shows as well as review shows that recap the entire weekend of action, I think you will definitely enjoy what we got going on over there at Football Function. So would love to have you if you like football. So yeah, that's my little quick plug for that show. But this show, SmackDown Review, we're here to talk about the SmackDown that aired on September 17th, 2021 from Knoxville, Tennessee, the hometown of Bianca Belair. So, and that's actually referenced, and there's a whole segment dedicated to that. So we will definitely get more into Bianca Belair and this being her hometown a little bit later in the show. We'll talk about some other key things that happened, obviously. But as far as the episode as a whole, I just think that in comparison to last week, which was a show in Madison Square Garden with Brock Lesnar in attendance, Edge was in attendance and he had a match. So I think that just by comparison, this week obviously wasn't going to live up to that. And I feel like this was more of just an average episode of SmackDown, not anything too special. Next week will likely be a little bit better, given that it's the go-home show for Extreme Rules. We've already got an Intercontinental Championship match announced, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Apollo Crews. So we already have a little bit of knowledge of what we're going to get next week. I do expect it to be probably better than this week, but this week wasn't bad by any means, and we'll definitely get to everything that happened. So we'll go ahead and start with, let's see here. Well, let's start with Big E, the WWE champion, at least the current, as we stand right now, SmackDown superstar, because they didn't really talk about him, you know, being over here on SmackDown despite being the WWE champion. Now they just, everything was business as usual. Big E came out and it was just normal. Big E's a WWE champion. I mean, I don't really even think Paul Heyman said anything about it. Although the one person I do remember, people, I guess, is the Usos whenever they attacked Big E in the middle of the show, which is basically what set up this match that we're going to get next week, six-man tag match for Monday Night Raw. And I'll talk about that here in just a little bit, but the Usos, they actually said, go back to Monday night. You know, this is SmackDown. I was like, what are you talking about? Big E's been on SmackDown for like almost a year, the entire time that we've had this version of the draft, quote unquote, that they did back in October. Big E has been a member of SmackDown. So I thought that was a little bit weird that they said go back. But I mean, I get it. I guess if he's the champion of that brand, then technically he's going to be a member of it. And I guess we'll kind of just slowly inch our way to that. But speaking of the draft, let's kind of talk about that really quickly here. It's not for a couple weeks, so, and it will be on SmackDown the first night. Anyways, the second night will obviously be on Raw, but I did notice a video on social media that was posted by Drew McIntyre, and it was basically just hyping up a Monday Night Raw that's going to be coming to some city. I'm not sure which one it was, but Drew McIntyre was promoting it, and he did say in the video that I'm going to be there. So in my head, I was like, did he just kind of spoil that he's not going to get drafted to SmackDown and he's going to stay on Raw? Because, I mean, that show that he was referring to is in November. So the draft's going to be well before that, which means, I mean, he would have to be a member of Raw unless they just did some quarter invitational stuff. But he would have to be a member of Raw to attend that show and to be on the card. So I feel like maybe Drew McIntyre might have spilled the beans a little bit there that he might not be coming to SmackDown. I guess we'll just have to let that play out, but I kind of just wanted to talk about it while I was thinking about the draft and didn't forget, like I tend to do sometimes with things that I want to talk about. But anyway, we're kind of talking about Big E there, and the reason why he came out is because Roman Reigns came out to the ring first. Him, the Usos, and Paul Heyman, they came to the ring, and Roman Reigns told Paul Heyman to help Knoxville, Tennessee acknowledge him, or at least tell them how to do it or something along those lines. He let Paul Heyman essentially cut a promo there. And Paul Heyman ended up talking about how he feels like Brock Lesnar for the first time in his life, or at least for over 20 years, the 20 years that Paul Heyman has known Brock Lesnar, he sees fear in his eyes. And he also alluded to Finn Balor, saying that Finn Balor's also scared of Roman Reigns because he's having to pull out the demon. He's having to, you know, turn to his inner demons to defeat Roman Reigns because he doesn't feel like he can do it on his own. So he got a little bit of a promo. It was a good one. Obviously, it's Paul Heyman. Just, you know, putting over Roman Reigns even more and turning all of this, despite Brock Lesnar coming back and getting a pop, turning it to where it's more so favored towards Roman Reigns. And he's doing it in fear. I really wasn't sure. I mean, I guess he was just saying that he saw the fear in his eyes. I guess I understand the whole Finn Balor thing, having to pull out the demon, but I really wasn't sure what Paul Heyman was talking about whenever he saw fear in Brock Lesnar's eyes, because we all saw the promo. It just looked like regular Brock Lesnar, at least to me. So I don't know. Maybe he knows something that we don't. But Roman Reigns still kind of in the back of his mind, because they go back to the locker room, and Paul Heyman is being questioned by Roman Reigns, who says, "Hey, I mean, are you sure that there's nothing that you want to tell me?" And he says, "Of course not. No, like, no, my tribal chief, what are you talking about?" And Roman Reigns is like, are you really sure here? Because it's obvious that that Paul Heyman is on thin ice, and Roman Reigns definitely has a little bit of a question, you know, at least in the back of his mind, whether or not Paul Heyman really knew that Brock Lesnar was going to be there at SummerSlam whenever he showed up. So that's something that I'm looking forward to seeing play out all the way up to Crown Jewel, whether that matches for the Universal Championship or not. Obviously, I think it's going to be, but there is a small possibility that Finn Balor can take the championship off of Roman Reigns, in which that match would likely just be a one-on-one singles match for no championship. But we all heard the challenge that Brock Lesnar laid out. He specifically said the Universal title. Like, those were the words that came out of his mouth. So it wasn't just about fighting Roman Reigns. He wants to fight Roman Reigns for that Universal Championship. So you can expect Roman Reigns to win this. I don't expect that Finn Balor is going to, you know, just all of a sudden take the championship off of him and then get pushed all the way through Survivor Series and Royal Rumble. I think it's pretty clear that Roman Reigns is going to be the champion going into Crown Jewel, and likely after that as well. But that's basically what happens there at the very beginning of the show, because Paul Heyman, after he's finished cutting his promo, Big E comes out. They have a little bit of a picture where they're holding up their championships. But because the rest of the New Day is on Monday Night Raw, Big E's outnumbered. So he has to have a little bit of backup, and that's where Finn Balor comes out to the ring. And then we get a tag team match, Finn Balor and Big E versus the Usos. And even though it was a tag match, this is one of the ones that actually went by pretty quick. It ended with both Big E and Finn Balor hitting their finishers at the same time. And it really highlighted how absolutely terrible Big E's finisher is. I've talked about it ad nauseum on this show. I mention it every single time that I see it. I really don't want to mention it. I really don't want to give it any more attention, because it really is a terrible finishing move. But sometimes it's worse than a regular time. You know, like, sometimes it's just a regular, quote-unquote, big ending. But there's other times where Big E will literally land on the ring before, in this case, Jimmy Uso. I noticed it very, very clearly that Big E hit his backside and then Jimmy Uso hit. And I'm not really sure what the logic is behind the move. Like, how was it supposed to hurt the opponent? Like, what is it that's happening to them? Or is it just because they're falling from like 5 feet to, you know, close to 6 feet and hitting the mat? Is that's what making this move, you know, so quote-unquote devastating? I'm not really sure here. I know that Big E definitely deserves a better one, because it's one of the few criticisms I have on this Big E character, you know, outside of his character as a whole. But, you know, in the ring, he's great. This is the only problem. And, you know, sometimes how he likes to take risks despite being a bigger guy. But, I mean, that really has a track record of him staying healthy as far as so far. I mean, it doesn't mean it's always going to happen. You could always land wrong anytime you do it, but I would rather him fix his finisher. If you're going to say, all right, you can do the whole suicide dive thing through the middle and the top row, but if you're going to do something crazy there, you better do at least something crazy in the ring for your finisher, because that is not doing it. And I don't know, it just, sometimes it really grinds my gears, I guess you could say. But anyways, so Finn Balor and Big E pick up the win here, and that's really all we see of Big E. He does have a backstage segment where he kind of creeps up on Paul Heyman, as Paul Heyman is kind of laying into Caleb Braxton for God knows what. And then, the reason why he was laying into her actually is kind of meaningful. So I'll get to that here in just a second. But this was kind of confusing as far as like this whole brand thing, because just try to keep track of what I'm saying here, because it's going to be pretty confusing. I already feel confused even thinking about it. But Big E approaches Paul Heyman and he says, like, I mean, he's doing his normal, you know, laughing while he's looking at his championship, all that stuff. You know how Big E acts. But as far as what he said to Paul Heyman, he said, look, whether it's going to be Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar, I'll see one of them at Survivor Series, which tells you right there they're going to do the whole brand versus brand, champion versus champion thing that they've done for the past few years at Survivor Series. Fine. You know, that it is what it is. I'm fine with that. But before Big E walks up, Paul Heyman was kind of screaming at Caleb Braxton, because Caleb Braxton was asking Paul Heyman if he's going to represent Brock Lesnar, because apparently there is rumors that Brock Lesnar is going to be going to Monday Night Raw in the draft. That's literally what Caleb Braxton said there. So he kind of screams at her, you think I'm still the advocate of Brock Lesnar? Why would you ask that? That's such a stupid thing to say. So I guess that is kind of a bullet point there. It's worth noting that she said that Brock Lesnar is likely going to be drafted to Monday Night Raw. And it does kind of open the door for Paul Heyman to do that, to represent two people, I guess. But I don't know. I guess I just, I think that was noteworthy that Caleb Braxton said that. And then Big E talking about whether it's going to be Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns, he's going to try, or he's going to be fighting one of them at SummerSlam. So that would basically mean that, where does Big E stand? Is he on Monday Night Raw or is he on SmackDown? Because he said he's going to fight the Universal Champion, whoever it is. Well, that would mean you'd have to be on Monday Night Raw. So do you kind of see where I'm getting confused here, or where I thought that this was kind of a confusing segment as far as where people stand in terms of brand? I don't know why they like to get sloppy this close to the draft, and they really like to just really confuse things. And I mean, another thing about the draft, why is it before Survivor Series? Like, I feel like, because the brands are going to switch, right? And everybody's going to be going to basically a new brand. Not everybody, but some people. So the rosters are going to be different. And then 2 weeks later, we're going to get like a brand versus brand thing. Why not have the brand versus brand pay-per-view be right before the draft, where something can be set up at that pay-per-view to lead to rivalries or feuds going forward as people switch brands? Like, hey, I remember you kind of bumped into me backstage, or you said something to me. Maybe we could have a battle royal on that pay-per-view with people from both brands, and something had happened in there. I mean, you guys know how storylines and things like that get set up. But basically what I'm trying to say is I think it's weird the timing that they do and the order, because I just think that it's weird. You know, you're going to get fresh brands, brand new brands, and then you're going to have them compete against each other for quote unquote bragging rights or whatever, brand supremacy. It's just kind of weird. I mean, I do kind of understand, I guess, right now it really wouldn't be too fair, maybe. I don't know. I mean, Raw has some good talent. It's not really a talent problem. It's a booking problem and a creative problem. Because, I mean, you're going to tell me that Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, who else? I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say if Big E's on SmackDown or not. That's the thing where it gets kind of confusing here, because you want to point right to the champion. But, I mean, Randy Orton, there's definitely talent over there on Monday Night Raw. So I just think it's weird that they're going to let the brands get shuffled, and then they're going to do it whenever some people are probably going to be brand new on that brand. I mean, look at, you know, Big E, who's likely going to be on Raw, who I just mentioned. He's likely going to have to go up against Roman Reigns. Yeah, we haven't really done that yet as far as Big E versus Roman Reigns in an actual program. But either way, Big E was just on SmackDown. So now he's going to have to go up against somebody who he's been on the same roster with. I mean, you kind of know, you understand my problem here. I guess I'm just nitpicking because you guys know how I feel about the brand split. I like whenever they're strict with it and they stay true to their rules, but it's just kind of hard to, it's kind of hard to look past what they're doing here. And they do have a tendency of doing this. So I don't know. I think it's weird. The draft and Survivor Series, they kind of do it all around the same time. And it's just, it's weird for me. I wish they do it a little bit different, but let's get into something else here on the show. Let's see. We'll talk about Baron Corbin, or I guess Happy Corbin, because this is something that really didn't take up very much time at all. It was supposed to be Happy Corbin versus Kevin Owens, but Corbin attacked Owens before the match, so it never really happened. I mean, obviously, we'll probably get this match either on SmackDown or maybe at Extreme Rules. I think it's worthy of being at Extreme Rules. I mean, I hope so. Kevin Owens deserves to have a pay-per-view match, or at least a program worthy of being on a pay-per-view. He's kind of getting wasted here, whether he's hosting the KO show or just feuding with mid-card guys or guys like Logan Paul or, you know, things like that. He's not being utilized right, and his contract's about to end. So that kind of, I mean, the writing might be on the wall, and it sucks to see, because for the first few years that he was in WWE, and or at least that I was familiar with him, I really wasn't that big of a fan of him, so I really didn't appreciate his work and all that stuff. And now that I'm finally, you know, really wanting to see him on my TV, you know, I'm excited to see Kevin Owens anytime he comes out. And there's, you know, possibilities and rumors that he might be out the door and heading somewhere else. So I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, that's something to definitely monitor there. I do not want to lose Kevin Owens. That'd be another damn good pickup for AEW, and it'd be one of those moments where you'll be seeing it on the internet when the crowd's going crazy whenever he makes his debut. So let's hope that doesn't happen, and we can keep Kevin Owens here in WWE. But if you're going to keep him here in WWE, you have to utilize him properly. You have to book him right and put him, I mean, I know he doesn't look the part, and that's the biggest problem with him as far as, you know, what Vince McMahon sees and what's his name, Bruce Pritchard. I'm just a little side note here, and I'm not trying to call anybody out, but I am not a fan of Bruce Pritchard at all. I know nothing about the guy, but if I were to see him, like, just walking down the street, I don't feel like I would wave at him, you know, because I feel like, and in my gut, and I don't have any knowledge, any sources, obviously, but I just feel like he has a lot to do with how crappy, and I'll use that word, how crappy the WWE has been over the past few years. I just feel like whether he's directly responsible, he's not doing anything to help. I feel like he has a direct, you know, line to Vince McMahon. And I don't know. Like I said, it's just my gut tells me that whether it's Michael Hayes, Bruce Pritchard, I don't know, Vince McMahon, those three, maybe it's just Bruce, maybe it's just Vince, or just a combination of all of them. Something just tells me that those guys are the problem, and I don't know if it's just a toxic environment inside of that office, or if they just both want to please Vince McMahon. I don't really know, but I'm not a fan of Bruce Pritchard. I'll just kind of get that out of the way there. But that got me extremely off topic, and I'm not even really sure what I was where I was going with that. So let's just move on here. Kevin Owens, definitely don't want to see him go to AEW is really what I was talking about. That's all I can really remember before I really got on that Bruce Pritchard rant. So let's move on to something else. Another quick thing that happened. Sami Zayn defeated Dominic Mysterio. And it says here, CBS Sports, it's what I'm using to recap SmackDown, says he countered a frog splash into a pin. So another loss for Dominic Mysterio. Rey was on commentary. I have nothing really to nitpick about Dominic's performance in the ring. Sometimes I do. And I'm really, I think that this was just, you know, an ordinary match. I think he did a good job. He didn't get the win, but we'll see what happens. Obviously, Rey Mysterio being on commentary and kind of being disappointed in his son losing. I mean, something's got to happen here. You don't just stack up loss after loss after loss and keep getting TV time. So either they're going to do something with this and turn it into a positive thing, and Dominic's going to split from his father, or Dominic's just going to be off TV, you know, as a whole. So something's going to come from this. Not really sure what. For Dominic's sake, hopefully something can get figured out. I think maybe now with that NXT 2.0, Dominic might fit in even more. People have always kind of speculated that he should be on NXT. I think that now the NXT feels more main rostery, if that makes sense. I mean, I know it's not a word, but I think that Dominic might fit in there a little more. And maybe that's kind of where he belongs, at least in the near future. But let's see. I'm trying to think here what else to talk about. Oh, yeah, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins challenged Edge to one final match. Now, when's this going to happen? I don't know, but it's clear Seth Rollins still has his attention on Edge. And I will say, Seth Rollins had one of those silver suits. It was just, I mean, it looked like aluminum foil pretty much. And it was just one of those creative suits that he comes out with. So I wanted to point that out and even say that he had matching shoes. So Seth Rollins comes out and he just tells Edge, basically, I mean, he tells the crowd that we're responsible for this. Of course, I mean, how many times have we heard wrestlers say that the crowd is to blame for X, you know, whatever, you fill in the blank. But we all should have known that this is how it's going to end up, that he was going to hurt Edge and put him on the shelf. But if he challenged him to a match, we'll see. I mean, Extreme Rules, Edge could randomly surprise him, but I expect Edge to be out a lot longer. Why would you? I mean, the announcer said that he was at home resting, so they did bring up Edge, and apparently they've been touching base with him just to kind of figure out what's going on, but I mean, I expected him to be out for longer. So if he is already looking like he's coming back here pretty soon, then I guess one more match with Seth Rollins. They both have one win each. It feels like you should probably do this. It has the it's worthy of being at Extreme Rules in a gimmick match, some type of, I mentioned that last week, but if you want to keep him on the shelf for a little bit, give him some time off, it's also worthy of being on one of the big four pay-per-views. So you could, this could be something on the Survivor Series card. If Edge gets drafted to Monday Night Raw, this could be one of your Raw versus SmackDown matches. And I wouldn't even care if it's that they've worked together in recent memory, because that's something that I mentioned earlier that was kind of confusing about why they did the brand split, or why they did the draft this close to Survivor Series, because we're going to have brand versus brand stuff. This could be one that has nothing to do with a championship. We've seen these happen before. Just think back to like WrestleMania 21, Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle. Raw versus SmackDown had nothing to do with a championship. Even a year before that, WrestleMania 20, Undertaker versus Kane. Raw versus SmackDown had nothing to do with a championship. So there are things that you, or there are ways that you can do these brand versus brand matches and have it not be about a championship or quote unquote bragging rights. You can actually have it be, have it be about a grudge that makes sense. So if you do pull the trigger and have it be a Survivor Series, I think that that would make sense. But let's continue on here with something else that happened. And let's talk about Rick Boogs defeating Robert Roode with a, let's see, I'll read here, after the Boogs Cruise. So he has multiple moves. He does the Pump Handle Slam, and then he has the Boogs Cruise. But Rick Boogs is undefeated. That's something that I've monitored here. He has not lost, and I'm fine with this. I want to see somebody who they're trying to establish as he's a credible wrestler. All we've seen is he plays the electric guitar really well. He rocks out. This was probably his best entrance for Shinsuke. Just a little bit of a side note there. There's sometimes where whether the guitar's off or he's just not with his fastball, as I like to say. But I feel like this particular entrance for Rick Boogs was definitely, he hit it out of the park. So good job there. He even followed it with a hell of a match, and he got the win. So that's really what matters there. And I guess we'll see. I mean, they're continuing on here with Shinsuke and Rick Boogs. I don't really think there's anything noteworthy. There hasn't been any hints that they're going to split up. After the match was over, though, Commander Aziz and Apollo Crews come out and attack Boogs and Nakamura, and that kind of sets up for Apollo Crews to challenge Shinsuke next week to a match for the Intercontinental Championship. I kind of mentioned that earlier, is that what that match was already announced. So it's going to be next week for the go-home show. And I think the last episode of SmackDown before, you know, the draft episode. So there you go. We're going to get a another match for the Intercontinental Championship. And I do probably think that the loser of this match goes to Raw. And I know it's not going to be a, you know, for sure stipulation or specifically mentioned anything like that. Just kind of my gut feeling. And I'll touch back to see if I was way off on this. But whether it's Apollo Crews or Shinsuke Nakamura, I think that the loser of this match will head over to Monday Night Raw. That's just kind of one of those if FanDuel, and I'm not trying to, you know, do any free sponsoring or anything like that. But if a if an online betting sports bookie, whatever, if one of those had a bet for if the loser of this match heads over to the other brand, I would definitely sprinkle a little bit of money on that one. But continuing on here, we get Liv Morgan and Toni Storm in a tag team match versus Carmella and Zelina Vega. And I didn't realize that I needed this tag team until I saw it and realized I need this tag team. I love Liv Morgan. That's no secret. She is one of my favorite women's wrestlers on the roster. Toni Storm as well. Whenever she was on NXT or NXT UK, she was who I considered my favorite NXT women's wrestler. So the fact that they kind of teamed up, it was just, you know, I was loving it. And they got the win, even though it was a count out, because supposedly Carmella got her nose broken, and that's where Liv Morgan challenges her to a rematch at Extreme Rules. And apparently, or well, Liv Morgan claims that she is going to make Carmella as ugly on the outside as she is on the inside. I don't know. We will we'll see if she can back up what she was saying there, but Liv Morgan and Carmella likely going to have a match at Extreme Rules. Don't know if it was officially announced, but the challenge was laid out, so we'll see what happens. Obviously, I'm expecting Liv Morgan to win this match. I think she's got a lot more going for her. I think she's had more credible wins over the past few months. Even though whenever she's not wrestling, it's long periods of time, so that kind of sucks. But whenever she does have matches, she's likely going to win. And that's just something that I've noticed about Liv and Carmella. I mean, you put Liv Morgan against somebody who has been utilized a lot more, then she's probably going to lose, obviously. But you put her against somebody who's like Carmella, who she loses on a regular basis, along with Zelina Vega, I think that Liv Morgan definitely can get the win here, and I like her chances. But that match isn't happening until Extreme Rules. Maybe they'll have a little bit of a stipulation there. I wouldn't mind that match being like a tables match or something like that. Let's do something special for this one. There's no title on the line, so we got to do some type of gimmick since it's going to be at a gimmick pay-per-view. But, okay, I've already talked about Rick Boogs. Let's see. Oh, really? All I have left to talk about here is the Bianca Belair hometown celebration that she had that actually featured Kane. It's always nice to see Kane anytime he makes an appearance. I'm definitely going to be a fan of it. You know, it's well known that he's the mayor of Knox County now. I really wasn't sure the difference, and obviously I probably sound like a stooge to people that are from there or something like that, but Knox County, Knoxville, Tennessee, I knew that it was, there had to be some type of similarity there, but to be honest, I really wasn't 100% sure. I just knew that they were in Bianca Belair's hometown, and this segment was basically dedicated to giving her a key to the county. I mean, she literally gets a huge key. We've seen things like this happen before with, you know, big-time athletes or inspirational figures, just people who are famous and they've done a lot. Sometimes you'll see them get a key to the city. You know, I've seen this happen several times. But Bianca Belair gets this one to Knox County. Well deserved. They kind of talk about some of the things that she's accomplished there, both like in college and in high school. She's a legit athlete. I mean, that's clear. That jumps off the screen. She's a legit athlete who's a wrestler. And I feel like Charlotte, even though she's a damn good wrestler, she's kind of the same thing. And I've said that multiple times, that I think Charlotte looks like a volleyball player just because, I mean, her size, and you can just tell. If you've seen a volleyball player in your life at any point, Charlotte looks like she was probably a damn good one. But that's just kind of what I noticed with Bianca Belair. But anyways, here in this segment, obviously, Bianca Belair's parents are in the front row, so she's getting all the attention, and it's supposed to be a good night for her. And who else but Becky Lynch decides to come out? So we get her music. She comes out. She claims that she's never been to a homecoming before, so this is pretty cool. And she's, you know, she's excited to go out there and be part of Bianca Belair's special night. So Becky, just being the ultimate heel, coming out there kind of has just like a little bit of like an arrogant presence to her. You love to see this from Becky just because it's what she's trying to do with this heel character. And I feel like she's doing a damn good job doing it. But anyways, she tries to shake Bianca Belair's hand, and Bianca does it, but she won't let go. She won't let go of Becky's hand. She kind of tightens the grip. And then she tries to put Becky into the kiss of death. Becky counters, hits her with a manhandle slam, holds up the title, and walks away. So Bianca is reminded, and she gets another taste of the move that she got hit with whenever she lost that SmackDown Women's Championship. So at Extreme Rules, I mean, it's already been announced. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Adam Pearce, and Sonya Deville already said that this match is going to happen at Extreme Rules, whether Becky Lynch wants it or not. So we can look forward to a damn good match. I think that Becky Lynch is going to be ready to put on a show. I mean, she really has. I mean, she's done live events. She's been to house shows, so she's getting the practice and the reps in the ring. But she hasn't been able to really put on a match in front of the national, you know, audience on the I guess, Peacock now or anything like that, a SmackDown, Raw. She hasn't gotten to perform on national television. So I think that in her first match, she's going to want to really burn the house down. And I think that Bianca Belair is going to be a good dancing partner for her. And it's going to suck that Belair probably isn't going to win this championship. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to see her just go and be delegated to the likes of like Zelina Vega and Carmella. I think that Bianca Belair has a lot more to offer than those two. So whether she gets sent over to Monday Night Raw to kind of be a little baby face over there, or they keep her over on SmackDown, I just hope that Bianca Belair can be utilized properly here in this next year, coming off a very impressive year that she already had. But there was one other thing, I guess, because that was, you know, how SmackDown went off the air here. But there was one other thing that I wanted to talk about, and it's Naomi. She calls out Sonya Deville. It's actually pretty funny because we've seen these little backstage segments that they've had where Sonya has basically just brushed off Naomi and acted like she wasn't worthy of her time or wasn't worthy of being booked in a match. And Naomi has enough of it. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys really quickly, or I'm going to provide some audio here. I don't normally do this. I haven't done this in a really long time, but I just want you guys, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, I want you guys to hear Sonya Deville and Naomi's little interaction here. It's nothing, you know, too crazy or anything like that, but I think it's worthy of hearing what Naomi had to say to Sonya Deville.
So I'm not going to play this game with you anymore. When is my match?
There's not that much time on the show tonight. Come to me next week and we will figure it out.
I don't don't know what your issue is with me, nor do I care. Because I've been here longer than you. I've accomplished way more than you. So you're acting as if I don't deserve to be here is pretty bizarre. I am a two-time SmackDown Women's Champion, okay? And one thing you clearly don't know about me is that I never quit. So mark my words, one way or another, I am going to get my match. Now, do you feel that?
And I just really like seeing that, honestly, from Naomi. I feel like I wanted to share that because she'd had enough. She was like, look, I don't know who the hell you think you are, but I have accomplished way more than you. I mean, you guys heard what she just said, so I'm not going to repeat it. But I really like seeing that from Naomi. Hopefully we can get a little bit more of that. And maybe she can, like I said a few weeks ago, get in something with Sonya Deville because I want to see Sonya come back. And maybe this lit a fire under her backside and makes her want to get back in the ring. But there you guys have it. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the SmackDown Review. I didn't get to record immediately after SmackDown went off the air. I had a few other things to take care of, unfortunately, but I was able to do it immediately after getting off work today, so do apologize for the delay. I hope that you guys will forgive me on this instance. Hopefully next week after the go-home show, I can hop on here pretty quickly. That's normally what I like to do on go-home shows. I like to get them in immediately after SmackDown, because on Saturday, I know that Matt has his preview and prediction show, so just like for the sake of the schedule of the week, I like to get him in a little bit earlier. But yeah, like I said, that is a SmackDown review. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you're a first-time listener, I hope you will continue to come back. If you're a regular listener, thank you for making this part of your weekly routine. Hope you guys all have a great weekend. Walk passionately in the direction of your dreams, and I'll talk to you soon.